Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Our call-in number, today is Tuesday, August 12th, 2014, and we just completed our 9-day intensive, and the teacher's training is not going to happen, so we have a few days off, and then starting on the 22nd, we start our 16 days of Laws of Living. So it has been a phenomenal time. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Well, I know he was going to be delayed getting on. Oh, there he is.
I am here. I just mute button silence there for a moment. Welcome, everybody. We are honored. We are delighted that you've joined us today. We're having a gorgeous day in the Ozarks. It's probably about 75 degrees. We got up this morning. It was a little chilly. Absolutely beautiful, sunny day. And we just finished a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive. And so the group that's been here is on the road and on their way back home. And we got a few days off until we start our next intensive, which is the 16-day Laws of Living. So if you are ready to boost your process and take things to the next level in your world, in your life, and learning these tools and bringing them forward onto the planet, it's going to be an interesting Laws of Living class. We've actually, we've counted up, we're going to have 9 teachers at this class, which I think is going to be pretty awesome to have that kind of gathering. We'll have teachers from all over the country, actually. South Carolina, Michigan, Chicago. Lots of folks coming to play, and actually it'll be a relatively small class, but 9 teachers in the one class is pretty awesome to have that many together reviewing the work and getting ready to take things to the next level. So if you really want to be in a space where there's going to be a lot of support energy, I think you'll find this will be a good space to be. So it starts on the 22nd. It's a 16-day residential intensive here at Heartland. We're in the Ozarks in southern Missouri, if you're not familiar with our location. We're actually equidistant from 5 cities. If you imagine, we're sitting right in the center of 5 hours from Kansas City, 5 hours from Tulsa, Oklahoma, 5 hours from Little Rock, Arkansas, 5 hours from Memphis, and 5 hours from St. Louis. So we're right in the middle of that, the Ozark Mountains. And so we'll have folks arriving on afternoon of the 22nd, and we'll start that evening into Laws of Living. It's a powerful, intensive process. It's a different process than our regular intensives. We use the Socratic method of questions to do this particular workshop, and we introduce a whole series of tools that we don't introduce in our other workshops. And so if you are ready to take things to the next level, we've got an awesome food program going. The fresh and raw food has just been fabulous. And I expect there's going to be a whole lot of healing going on. So if you're ready to take it to the next level, and you know, if you're not familiar with the process that we do, Heartland is a residential center, so the cost of the intensive includes all of your food, your accommodations, workshop materials. There's about 200-page manual that goes with the laws of living. And the cost of the intensive is $175 a day for everything, totally, completely included. All you need is your toothbrush and change of clothes, and that's pretty much it. Well, we'll ask you to bring a few other things, too, but pretty simple and straightforward. Everything's included in that. So the whole 16-day process, I think, is $2,800 for everything. So if you want to come and join us, we'd be delighted to have you here. And other than that, our focal point, you know, when we talk about laws of living, you know, I hear from people say, well, would you give me a list of the laws? You know, just write them all down as though, no, let me say that differently. We've bought into the brainwash that laws are a set of rules that men wrote down that you have to follow. There's a superior. And the superior wrote down rules, and boy, you better watch it, and you better follow those rules, or you are in big trouble. Well, we don't have anything like that happening in laws of living. That's not the game. What we come to understand is in the first century Aramaic language, where humans function as humans, not as controllers of others, the word law has nothing to do with obedience. The word law has nothing to do with the rule of the superior. Law is simply something that happens. You know, they say the law of gravity. You know, gravity doesn't say, you better obey me or else. Cancel the thought, but if you step off a cliff, law happens. Gravity happens. And at the bottom, there's no, you know, superior says, well, let's see, 2,000 feet, shall we break bones at the bottom or shan't we? No such thing exists. Men have made the creed over in their image and likeness and set it up so people believe that there's some guy in the sky that wants obedience and wants us to kowtow. And that's all kings and men doing that. Men write down rules, call them laws. They are not laws at all. No man has ever written a law. And no man ever will write a law. Law is a result of eternal forces, and law happens. And here's another really cool thing about the law. You never have to be concerned about breaking the law, because, one, there's no obedience required, and, two, you can't break a law. It can't be done. Oh, yeah, well, the law says 55 miles an hour, and I was doing 65. I broke law. No, no, you didn't break a law. You broke men's rules used to control you. In that case, it's probably a good rule. Useful. You know, keeps us sane in the way we drive. But that's not a law. That's a rule. And we've been taught that if you break the rule, somebody with a big gun comes and gets you. There's an authority involved. But there's no authority involved with the laws of the universe. Gravity doesn't care whether you step off the cliff or whether you don't. Gravity's not involved. Gravity just happens. Well, not always, because we can violate the law of gravity and fly an airplane, a heavier-than-air machine. You can't violate the law of gravity and fly a heavier-than-air machine. The only way that you can fly a heavier-than-air machine, the only way you can benefit from flying in an airplane is to honor the law of gravity. You got to know what happens and how it happens. And when you know how it happens, you have no involvement with the superior telling you what to do. You just understand the way the forces involved operate. And when you harmonize with them, you are at liberty to produce a result. So it is with all of the laws of living. There is no superior involved. There's nobody saying, you better or else I'll punish you. There's no breaking the law. We get broken when we come into avoidable collision with law. The person who steps off the cliff gets broken. Gravity did not sustain the least fracture. The laws of life have never been broken. They've never been violated. But when we come into avoidable collision with them, we get broken. There are laws for... Now, remember, this isn't a rule of a superior. There is a way that these eternal forces happen. They're laws of the mind. if you don't know how the eternal forces work in your mind, life gets really confusing because confusion is a result of not knowing how the mind works. There are laws of this energy system, the aspect of the energy system we call a body. There is a way that it works, and there's a way that it doesn't work. If you don't know the difference, then you've probably violated the laws of the body, and you wonder why you're sick. All sick is self-imposed. All illness is self-imposed. Sick is a result of not knowing how the energy system called the body works and violating the way it works. And the result of stepping out of harmony with the way it works is you bang into the law and boom, you get broken. The law, no fracture whatsoever. There are laws for how to operate in the realm of wealth. If you don't know that, if you don't know how those laws operate, then you've probably violated the laws of wealth and you wonder, well, where did this darn poverty come from? There are laws that operate in the realm of relationships. If you don't know that, there are eternal forces that operate there. If you don't know how they operate, then you probably have violated them. You've gone, what the heck happened to my relationship? You know, he really screwed things up. She really is the problem in my world. No, you violated the laws of relationship. There are laws that go along with how to handle your land, how to grow food. All of those things. There are eternal forces involved. And when you become acquainted with the eternal forces, you have the liberty to work within them. I like to use the example of, you know, there are laws of electricity. And imagine that you're building yourself a beautiful new 5,000 square foot home. And you're going to be sound asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning when the electricity is turned on. How many want to hire my great-great-grandmother to wire your house, knowing you're going to be sound asleep at 3 in the morning when the power's turned on? You probably don't want my great-great-grandmother wiring your house. Why? Because she does not know how those eternal forces operate, and she is not at liberty to wire your house. The house, cancel the thought, will probably burn down. There's a reason. Because she doesn't know how to honor the eternal forces. So in every arena of life, when we learn how to honor the eternal forces, the things that seem to batter and bruise us and bump us around, they change. And all of a sudden, they nurture us and support us and take care of us. And so that's the goal of the Laws of Living course, to understand where and how we have come into avoidable collision with the law in every arena that I just mentioned, and how to clean it up, how to change it. Of course, one of the key tools is the tool of forgiveness. If I have violated any of these eternal forces in the way they operate, the eternal forces were not fractured, were not broken, were not damaged, were not hurt in any way, shape, or form. But as a result, I have problems in those areas of my life. If you've got problems in any of the areas that I've just mentioned, and you come to understand how the eternal forces operate in that arena, guess what's going to happen? Those problems are going to disappear. That's all. Just kind of straight up, straight forward, and off you go. Those problems are going to disappear. Because when you harmonize with the way those energies move and flow, they harmonize with you. So it's a really wonderful thing to understand. And we introduce a number of new tools, a number of new worksheets in the process. And if you're ready to take your work to the next level and you really want to be inside of a team that's really moving things, as I say, we're going to have 9 teachers at this particular intensive. And so if you want to join us to be part of that, that would be fabulous. And we would appreciate and love to have your participation and support in taking your work to the next level. Where how would it look? How would our world look if tomorrow morning, 7.5 billion people got up in the way that most understand the law of gravity, understood the law of relationship, the law of finances, the law of growing food, the laws of the body, the laws of the mind, the laws of emotions? What if everybody got up tomorrow morning understood those things. And once you understand, there's no question about violating them. You just don't do that. It just, you know, it's like the person who understands the law of gravity and, you know, wants to carry their lives forward and, you know, keep having a great time, does not walk over to the cliff and step off. It's just like it's so obvious it doesn't need to be said. In exactly the same way, when you understand how these other eternal forces operate, you don't walk over to the cliff and step off. You just don't do it. So it's a whole different game than the mental game we've been taught to play with this idea of law. And kings have taught us to fear this authority that supposedly writes these laws for you to obey, because kings want you to live in fear. You make a great slave when you live in fear. If you eradicate fear and you live inside of the law of being a human being, and we have a simple definition for a human being and a human life, hold a newborn child. If you live as a human being, then life is different than living in a non-human world. And the non-human world is the world of hostility and fear. So when we change that game, everything, you know, the whole play gets to be different. So that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to be part of. We, of course, are learning it every day on deeper and deeper levels ourselves. And that empowers us to transfer that understanding and the tools to others in greater and greater ways every time, every day. It's an absolutely amazing and awesome process, and we're glad that you're here to be part of it. You know, if the only thing you ever hear is the last 15 minutes of what I said and you take that out, your life is going to change. I promise you. Because you're going to start watching, and when you start watching and observing in a different way, when you start understanding what law actually is, things begin to change. They change in the absolute most amazing, amazing ways. We had two young ladies here through this last 9-day intensive who were working on an issue with someone they'd been writing letters back and forth to, and this person was being nasty with them about producing a particular result in one of their lives, a mother and a daughter. And they both decided to engage in the law of love, living as human beings in terms of the interaction with this person who was withholding something from them that they were supposed to have. And 2 days ago, they came into class beaming. They'd both been working on the same issue with this person, not, and with no communication, no more requests. They'd requested, and they'd struggled, and it'd been back and forth, and it was being withheld. Neither of them did any sort of external communication to call it at all. They each just did their own work as the tools put forward the forgiveness process, and they came in class and, oh, by the way, we got an email from God. Well, we wanted, you know, it's just, that doesn't mean everything is going to go the way you want it to go, but what will tend to happen is the conflicts, the stresses, the strifes in your world will tend to dissipate and disappear as you engage in doing your work. And it's just a most amazing thing that in the normal mind of the world, it just doesn't make any sense that it would work. But it works. And so, Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is with us, and he is on.
Well, fabulous. Dr. Tim, how are you being, young man?
I'm doing beautifully, and I was just thinking about the book, The Gentle Art of Blessing.
Yes.
And just to dovetail off what you just said, I was leading a book club discussion group, and there were 17 people on the call, and 17 people had gotten this book just a month earlier. During that call, no less than 8 people interrupted the call to say, I've got to tell you what happened to me. I've got to give you my testimonial. In just a few weeks' time, they had been practicing the gentle art of blessing.
Yes.
And it's essentially what you're talking about, doing their inner work.
It's the law.
Yeah, holding a space of love for themselves and somebody else, even if the other person isn't acting from the space of love. And it transformed interaction after interaction. Some of them had been going on for months and weeks. And just like you, your example from the intensive, these two women did their own work, and it transformed an interaction between them and somebody else. It's a wonderful process, and that's a good book to get people introduced to it. He's got a little bit of a format that he recommends for constructing a blessing and holding
right.
people in a blessing, and some wonderful stories of, you know, over time how different people have held the space of love and it's transformed their lives. So that's my big contribution for today. It really got resonated strongly as I was listening to you.
Oh, well, one of the workshops that we did in this past 9 days was the Circle of Life and How to Play It. And one of my favorite parts in that workshop is when one moves to the upper path in the realm of abundance and generosity, and that the person who lives from the upper path, because they're human, is a blessing to everyone they meet or touch, including even the so-called enemy, that when one lives as that space. You know, maybe you share the story because it's so appropriate here and so powerful that you first introduced to me when you introduced that book with the physician who was working in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany after the liberation. Maybe you'd share that.
Well, so this physician went into the concentration camp and saw a tall, handsome fellow with long hair, and they called him Wild Bill because of a resemblance to a fictional character. But they assumed when they liberated the camps that he'd only been there a short time because he was so much more healthy and robust, and he was interviewing the gentleman as they were working with all the individuals as they liberated him, and they found out he'd been in the camp for 7 years. And for 7 years, he'd been starved and fed the same kind of gruel and treated as ruthlessly as all these other people, but his body simply didn't show it. The physician was just shocked, and he said, how did that happen? What was your story? And the gentleman said, well, he had been a lawyer in the Jewish town, and the Nazis had come in and turned the place into the ghetto and lined up his family along with lots of others and just shot them to death right in front of him. And he begged them, please, just kill me too. And they said, no, you're too valuable to us. You know several different languages. And because he'd been an attorney, he said he had seen the effect of hatred in his clients' lives over the years. And through his grief, he had a moment of clarity, and he said, in that moment, I decided that however much longer I live before these people kill me, I am going to focus on love. I will not be consumed by hate. And he lived his life from that moment forward, focusing on loving thoughts, focusing on love and loving energy, and it literally transformed his experience in each moment. And 7 years later, when they liberated the camp, he was remarkably more healthy and robust than all of the other people who'd been through exactly the same life events externally as he had, because essentially he simply refused to have the same internal experience that they were having. He decided to experience love. He knew that as a possibility. He knew it as his true inner nature, and that's what he focused his attention on, and that became his experience.
Pretty powerful stuff. And, of course, if we've got a history of hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, drama, and trauma, that sounds pretty insane. Like, who would do that? And who would do that? Only a human being. So the objective of this work is to really to inform those that don't know they're actually human. When I say actually human, I mean they are actually made of the stuff called love. You know, love isn't something we do to each other. It's what we are. It's a state of being. And for people who don't know that, who live as what we call non-beings, as hostility, fear, grief, rage, pain, drama, the invitation is, hey, come on over and try it. You can always, you know, if you decide that it doesn't work for you, you can always go back to the rage and the guilt and the grief and the fear and all that stuff. But give yourself, let's say, a fair trial. Give yourself 1 year or, well, let's do it differently. Give yourself 1 month for every year that you've lived in hostility or fear where you constantly, consciously, consistently choose loving thoughts and to practice the active presence of love. 1 month for every year you've done the opposite. And watch what happens. You will totally, completely transform your experience of life. And it's just amazing and awesome to watch it happen. And to get to, you know, one of the beauties to me, I realized about four decades ago, that the best way to become a full-time student of this work is to become a full-time teacher of it. And it's been such a blessing for me because where I might not have otherwise done it, I've been forced over and over and over and over and over and over and over again to look at the principles. I've been forced over and over and over and over again to let go of my own hostility, my own rage, my own guilt, my own grief, my own fear, my sadness, my pain, my drama, and my trauma. It's been such a blessing to have chosen the path to be a full-time teacher of this work because I realize after years of doing this that it's a gift that I probably otherwise would not have given myself. You know, I lived in the business world before this, and it was the dog-eat-dog survival game, you know. It's been such a blessing to me to have forced myself into it. So, and, you know, some of you might hear that and say, maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I'm a procrastinator. Maybe I go somewhere else. Then step in, start to teach it. Oh, Michael, I can't go back to school for 20 years. I can't go back to school for 10 years. That's all right. Start teaching it tomorrow. Get the video of why is this not making me again. Start showing it to people and just support people walking through the working process. It's so simple. It's so straightforward. Just pick it up and do it. It's that simple. And what you'll find is you will be teaching what you need to learn, and it's just awesome. It's such a gift to give yourself. Does any of that resonate for you, Dr. Kim?
The thing that resonates for me when you say that is the acronym I put together, TOPCAP, T-O for total, P for perfect, C for conscious, A for active, P for present, love, TOPCAP. And I haven't mentioned it for a while, but I heard Dale a few weeks ago mention it on the program that when you introduced that concept that way, it really resonated with him also years ago. And I often think of that, and I notice when I'm not in that state of total, perfect, conscious, active, present love. And as soon as I notice it, it starts shifting me back to that energy, and that everything I can do and add to my life that helps me remember that day in and day out is a blessing to me and those I interact with.
I hear you loud and clear. Loud and clear. Well, let's check with Jeannie and see if anything's happening in the chat room for us to be aware of. See if we've heard anything from Peacemaker and if you're there, know that you are in our thoughts and in our prayers and in our hearts, and we just hold that space of support for taking apart whatever energies need to come apart in you to let loose of what's happening in your body. Let loose of what's happening in your mind and replace it with that active presence of love. And so let's see if there's anything in the chat room happening or if there's anybody in the phone queue with a hand up. Sweetie?
Peace is with us, and he hasn't gotten any results or anything back yet, but he does go on the 20th for surgery. So we continue to hold the space for him. And we do have three hands up. And so, yeah. The first one I think might be Mark. Area code 630, you're on the air.
Well, hey, everybody. How you doing?
Hey there, good. So good to hear your voice. You sound like you're in a tin can, though.
Well, I kind of am. I'm in a tin can.
Okay.
Have you ever been in a tin can before?
I have never been in a tin can. I've been in a well.
Oh, my
gosh.
Well, what's a well like?
It sounds just like this tin can. So how are you? What's exciting in your world?
Well, I'm up to a lot of stuff, and I'm just I'm in a tin can because I was just about to head out of the bathroom, and so you're gonna hear a little bit of noise, and I was like, oh, Jeannie's gonna hit the unmute button, and so I'm out and I'm good now.
Okay, so sounds better.
I didn't need to share that, I guess.
More information we need, but hey.
Well, I wasn't doing anything. I was just coming out of the bathroom.
Okay.
All right. So the reason I was calling. Sorry for the noise in the background. I was working. Yeah, do you hear that noise in the background, the big beeping?
I did. That was interesting.
Yeah. So first the bathroom and then there. Maybe I'm not supposed to be on this call. Maybe you should re-mute me or something, Jeannie.
No, maybe there's resistance to something that's needing to be said and it's just getting ready to come through.
Oh, okay. That's probably it because I'm really good at creating situations that allow me to stall and distract myself. So, all right, I'll let that go and I'll just be centered and grounded here. I've been working on my family. And I know I didn't call into the call yesterday. I assume that you were talking about families yesterday?
Yes, we were.
All right. So is it all right if I go to that topic, or would you rather stay on something else?
No, absolutely. Go
well,
for it.
I just had the most remarkable, or really not the most, but a really remarkable experience. Over the past week, I was able to clear a lot of blockages and allow myself to see that, you know, the nature of who I am is really reflected to me in each of the individual members of my family.
Yeah.
And so I looked at the relationship of how I was with my son, my sons and my daughter and my wife and, you know, each person I'd go through, and I just kind of looked at what is it about me that's causing them to be a certain way in and around me. Because I'd see situations like my 16-year-old. He'd be one way around his friends, and then he'd come home, and he'd be another way around me and my wife. And so I thought about it, and I realized that I had some resistance in me at seeing the true nature of what I was creating. And so when I allowed myself to move through it, I had an experience, and this happened just the other night, where I got up in the middle of the night, and they were up late, my two oldest boys. And I just had the inspiration, you know what, just go downstairs and hang out. And so I did. I started hanging out with them. And they kind of came out of their closets or their tin cans. And they came into the kitchen. And we all kind of circled around the table. And we just had the most remarkable conversation. And I remember seeing that I was behaving like that when I was a kid. That I was in resistance of seeing who my dad was, you know, for a real person. He was just dad, you know, doing things to me. And my kids were kind of seeing me the same way. It's like, well, it's just dad, and he's doing this and that. But when I showed up that night, I just left all of that baggage go. And they allowed me just to be who I was, and I allowed them to be who they were. And we were laughing before we knew it. And we were laughing and telling jokes, and we were teasing each other. And it wasn't a tease like it was even the day before where it might have been taken the wrong way. It was a tease that was just in this loving, gentle, kind way. That it was just so genuine and fun. And I just wanted to share that because It really had a lot to do with what I was working on the previous week, but I broke through the other side and I had this experience and I just thought, you know what, this is something that's worth telling other people about.
Well, it sounds like the work that you did in the previous week, you probably handled some power person dynamics. Would that be accurate?
Well, I did. Yeah, I did in a very, very big way, a profound way. It was extraordinary. I'd like to share it with you if you want, but I don't want to take
Please,
up too much
yeah.
time on the show.
Please. The whole world rejoices when somebody does that because it opens an energy window for everybody on the planet with that same dynamic going on to also heal those issues. So that's fabulous.
All right. I'll tell a story, and I'll make it so that the other callers can still call in because I know it's like 12. It's like 1:37 there, 12:37.
Okay.
So here I was working on my stuff myself in the basement. I have this room down there, and there's a treadmill, and then just a table with a chair, like a card table and chair, and it's an old one we've had for a long time. And there's a big mirror down there, and I sat down in front of the mirror. And I said, all right, Dad, to you. And I pretended like my dad was actually the person being reflected to me in the mirror.
Right.
And I had a conversation with myself or with my father, the image that I had created of my father. And I allowed it just to dismantle. And I asked God, the divine, to come in and just help me and support me in dismantling whatever it was that were the power, that were the dynamics that had created the situation between me and my dad. Because I had the thought that if I could do that, then I could get behind or underneath what it was that was causing the dynamics between me and my sons, because I just wasn't relating to my sons, days before this conversation that I just told you about. And so what came out of the conversation was that I had all this hate and all this resentment and all this judgment and all this stuff and all these memories that were just generational or mine, or I don't even know. I don't even know if some of the memories that I have are really my memories because they were so early that they came up, and they might have been metaphors to show me something in me, but it came forward as a memory, and I judged my dad even for that, that, how dare you pass on your generational, schema or, sperm through the egg, and I got all your stuff. And I got angry about that. When you had first taught about generational memories, I got really angry because the stuff that came up in me was really awful. I mean, it was rape and murder and all kinds of things. And I didn't know what to do with it. But when I talked to him in the mirror, I was talking to myself, but energetically I was talking to him, I released him and forgave him for everything that he had ever done or not done, but I had perceived that he did. And when I did that, I just felt this flood of kind of open up. It was like the floodgates opened and out came this pouring of information and insights, and it was really quite glorious and harmonious with what was true and loving and kind and gentle, and no longer was the resistance there, and no longer was the resentment there, no longer was any of the stuff there that had been the baggage that I had carried with me for so many years. And when I did that, I thought, all right, I got it. And I went upstairs, and I committed that I was going to do that with my family, that I recognized that, all right, if they're reflecting it to me, then it's almost like me mirror reflecting my dad in the mirror that day, and I was just going to allow them to mirror to me whatever it is I needed to see. And so everything that happens in my house now, I just say, okay, what is it about me that's creating the dynamics that are playing out? And if it's not about me, if it's my wife interacting with my 4-year-old or 5-year-old, and they're having a hard time or a good time, then I recognize if I'm at peace, then it's just an issue that they're working through, and I allow them to work through it in their own way. And I'm not trying to preach or teach to them the way that I do it, because I recognize they have their own way. And if they want to learn how I'm doing it, then I need to work on me so that they come someday and ask me, hey, what are you doing that's different? What are you doing that's helping you get through what you're getting through? Because I've just seen a complete transformation in you. And unless people come to me and say, I've seen this transformation, I really want to know how you're doing it, then it means that I'm not doing what my work is. Because if I'm doing my work, then they're going to come and knock on my door and say, hey, Dad, can we talk? And that's what happened. That's what my experience was when we had that interaction around the kitchen table that night at 1 in the morning. And it was just like, wow, this is what life is supposed to be like. And so that's what my experience was, or, you know, in some of the power person dynamics that I had gone through. And thanks for letting me share. And it's about 5 minutes later, so there should be plenty of time for other callers unless there's a question.
Well, that's pretty awesome, and I applaud you and offer you appreciation for the work that you're doing internally and with your family. Because you brought to mind, there was a gentleman who was here a short time ago who he had a full-blown opening of the presence of love. He actually had pneumonia and died in the hospital, and, you know, had a near-life experience. They resuscitated him, but had this direct experience of functioning as and being love. And he tried to take that experience out to his friends, to his family, to the world. He tried to, you know, express that. And what he shared, the reason why he came to Heartland, was that he had never heard such a thing before, and nobody wanted to listen to him. Nobody wanted to hear about that experience or his knowledge that he realized that he was love and so were they. And then he accidentally came across, he was watching some of our YouTube videos, and he said he watched two or three of them, and they were like, well, that's interesting, but, you know, no big deal. And then he came across, and I don't even know which one that spoke about us as human beings being love. And that just kicked it into gear for him. Oh, my God, that's it. That's where I want to go. And so he came specifically because what he said to me was, you know, I could see that I couldn't get anybody to hear me or listen. There was no interest. And people are listening to you talk about it. And so I want to know why. And I introduced him to doing his work and cleaning the stuff out of his mind that did not clean out with this opening experience that he had, with this near-life experience that he had, with this, you know, experience of the direct presence of love in his physiology. And it was about maybe 3 or 4 weeks, and he ran away. I mean, literally ran away. The terror of facing the things that you're just talking about facing, I believe, was just too much for him. Even though he'd had the experience and knew from experience that he was the presence of love, to face the things in him, this is just my assessment, to face the things in him that were unlike love was just too much for him to handle. And so the fact that
he saw the gap.
Yeah, big gap, yes.
Yeah, he saw the gap between where he was and where he needed to go, and he just saw that that gap was so huge, he didn't see how he could possibly get over the hump.
I don't know that he couldn't see how he could possibly, because we were unfolding the tools, and he was getting the tools and starting to use the tools. But I think what happened was that, you know, what we're really asking people to do another metaphor of the will is we're asking to open and clean out Pandora's box. You know, the Greek mythology says, don't open Pandora's box because, boy, you never know what you're going to find in there. And, you know, they didn't tell us that if we don't open Pandora's box, our whole life turns into Pandora's box. And I think that it just, once he opened the lid just so far, it was so terrifying. It just, I can't do this. I can't handle it. And, you know, I anticipate that there will come to a point when he'll be using the tools and circle back and all. But it was just interesting, and you triggered that as the, you know, with the approach that you're taking. It's such an awesome, gentle, sweet approach of just, okay, I'm going to keep doing my work and just keep, you know, that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, but you can make him thirsty. And it sounds like you've discovered the way to make him thirsty. It's cool.
Well, and I tell you what. I really see that it's coming in layers, because I've been here before where I've realized this, and then I've forgotten, and then I realized it and forgot and realized and forgot, and the distance between realizing it and forgetting is getting shorter in terms of time, and now I'm seeing that I'm in a much more, I don't know, if it's different or better or conscious or what the word is, but I'm in a place where I can see it clearly. And when I see it, I'm on it. But sometimes there's another blockage that comes up that allows me to kind of go into my dissociated state. And so I'm just going to hold the space or invite you guys to hold the space for all of us who are going in and out of this process, because we've got a lot of work. We've got the work to do, and we've got the tools to do it, and we just need to stay with it. And I've been staying with it, and it's gone in and out and in and out. And when I'm in it, I'm really happy. And when I'm out of it, I'm like, dang, you know what? I lost this, or I'm not where I was. But it's not about being where I am or where I was before. It's about just enjoying the moment that I'm in. And so if I can just remember to enjoy the moment I'm in and allow whatever to unfold, then I'm all right. And I can use the tools, because I've got plenty of tools, you know, to use to bring about whatever needs to change, so that I can be the presence of love.
Right.
So thank you. Well, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Delighted. Glad to be on the team. What I hear you talking about is that you've been processing your unconsciousness. And when unconsciousness comes up, it takes time to enter into the practice deeply enough to stay conscious in unconsciousness. When we're processing unconsciousness, most people just go unconscious. And that's just a step and a part in the process. So, fabulous. Nice work, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for the show, and I look forward to hearing the other callers.
Okay, does it look like we're going to get to come play with you guys in Naperville? Does that look like it's going to fall in place?
Well, in fact, just before I called in, I was over at the church tracking down the priest. He wasn't there at the moment, so I've got his secretary, you know, tracking him down, and hopefully I get an answer real soon here. I really hope that this comes through.
Awesome, so do I. All right, look forward to seeing you. We'll see you when you're out in the Chicago area in any event, but we'll hope that comes together.
Yes, me too.
All right, blessings. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, Jean, you've got another caller for us, sweetie?
We do, and I think it might be Martha. 417, you're on the air.
417, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from? I know you're calling from the Theodosia area, but, or at least the South Central Missouri area.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay, I had my mute on and didn't know it. Hi, everyone. I am calling today because when we were having dinner last night, that wonderful, raw, abundant dinner, and it was so delicious. Can you hear me again, please?
I say that was a pretty awesome meal, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And the dessert, the raw dessert that followed it, was outrageously good, too. I'm calling today about wanting some more information, a review, if you will, about the use of the word try. That came up in our conversation at dinner last night, and we all chuckled a lot about it, and I know many of us slip in the word try in our vocabulary much too often. And so can you speak about using the word try as it has to do with regulatory speech, please?
Well, what I might do, because I know that Jeannie and Julie have been playing with this whole idea a lot, maybe we'll turn that question over to Jeannie and see what she's got to share with us.
Well, actually, I was in the conversation with Magda last night, so we were kind of going to turn it over to you. But, it's a word that Julie has helped me to catch myself in a lot, and that is saying, you know, well, I tried to do this and I tried to do that, and you don't try. You either do something or you don't do it. And you used the example before, you know, pick up that pencil and somebody reaches out and they pick it up and you're like, no, try to pick up the pencil. And they reach out and pick it up and you put it back down and no, just try to pick it up. And then they kind of look at you kind of funny and it's like you either do or you don't. There is no try. And so that's kind of a, maybe even a excuse or a cover in case we fail? I don't know.
Well, my take would be that if you remember that your mind to build its realities according to the instruction given, according to the words used, and this is why I think Yeshua pointed out that the power of life and death is in our words. And so if I give the mind an instruction that all I'm going to do is try to do this, I'm not committed, and I may or may not get it done. And so when I eradicate the word try and I say, you know, once I've made selected a behavior to do, that this is what I'm going to do, even if I fail, I am going to do it. As opposed to setting up that little excuse of, well, I'll try to do this, and if it doesn't happen to work out well, you know, I was just trying anyway. So that to me is the key in all of our behaviors are driven by goals. And when I put the word try into a goal, I give my mind instruction that, well, you don't have to really show me behaviors with which to accomplish this because I'm just trying. I'm not actually committed to doing it. So to me, it takes it to a whole other level of commitment. And that's, to me, is the key of that whole idea of dropping the word try.
Yeah, that resonates to say that it actually takes it to the level of commitment to leave that word out.
I like connecting that with commitment. It's very clear. I do have another question then that's coming up, and that is when I'm developing a new skill or a new habit, I've substituted, instead of try, I've substituted moving toward. Like I'm moving toward doing this or doing that. Is that just another trick I'm playing with myself to say that instead of try?
If you word that for me again.
Oh, I've substituted the phrase moving toward instead of using the word try. And I'm wondering at this moment, I mean, that's, I don't know, is that a commitment? I'm moving toward learning this new habit or this new skill. Maybe it's somehow at this moment it's feeling like that is as soft in commitment as the word try.
Well, I think it could be, or it may be a matter of looking honestly and assessing my skills honestly and realizing, like, for instance, what comes to mind is living the commitment. The relationship commitment, and for those who aren't familiar, you can go to our website, whyagain.org, and you'll see a listing and the commitments there in a whole dozen or so different languages. And so if my past and my mind has been filled with all kinds of drama and trauma and relationships, grief and pain and rage and hurt and abuse and da-da-da, and I pick up the commitment and I say, this is it, I'm going to do this, I'm probably lying to myself because I don't have the capacity to do this. And if I put the word, I'm going to try to do this, then again, I'm giving myself the instruction that, well, I don't really have to. But I think if I were to say to myself, I'm honestly assessing that I don't have the skill to do this, and I'm moving toward it, that's my goal, that's my commitment, and I'm moving toward it. I think that works. I think that fits. That sounds like a good substitute to me.
Okay, great, good. Well, thank you. That's a question I wanted some elaboration on for a while, and as Yoda says, there is no try. There is only do or not do. I think that's what Yoda says.
I think Yoda said something to that effect, yes.
Okay.
And Yoda was a pretty bright guy.
He was, indeed he was. I think he probably got a hold of a copy of your book somewhere. You know, did a little time travel of some sort.
Yeah, you know,
okay.
there's one piece that comes forward in that movie that you hear a lot of people, even today still, say, especially the younger people, and they say, may the force be with you.
Yes.
And, you know, my take on that one is you don't want the force to be with you. if you have the Force with you, it's going to follow you in all your mistakes and all your foibles and, you know, the things you're working on. But you want to be with the Force. So to me, it's like I want to have the Force lead me. I want to have Rukka. I want to have that elemental force that the Creator put out in us, leading us rather than we're going to try and lead it. Just, there are some subtle twists that have come through some of those movies, and some of them are right on, and some of them are just a little fraction off, like that one.
That's interesting. Yeah, that is subtle. I get what you're saying. I've always interpreted it more like the Force is you, and then be with the Force. So I guess that's the same, almost the same as what you were saying.
Yeah, that's right on.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, there you
all
go.
Right.
Great minds think alike.
Great minds. Thank you so much. I will mute so that we can you can move on to another caller.
Okay, cool. Blessings.
Have a beautiful day.
Okay, you too. Appreciate you. I was going to say, you know, with that, great minds think alike. Of course, they also say fools seldom differ, so we just kind of have to figure out which category we're in and make a commitment to it. So anyway, Deanie, you've got another hand up. We've got a minute or so left. It'll be a quick conversation, but we can do it.
No, the other hand has disappeared, and we are down to 90 seconds.
Okay. Well, then we'll just say, everyone, we're just honored and delighted. It's been a quick hour. Appreciate you being with us. Much appreciation to you, Dr. Tim, on every level. We did receive a tithe through our website donation button, and we appreciate that support. It is awesome to have it, and it will be used. We have got many new plates that we're juggling that are all demanding that green energy. So thank you for that support. And anybody that wants to support us in that way, you can go to YGN.org. There's a donate button there. That would be appreciated. And beyond that, bring the Strange Things Show tomorrow. Walk somebody through a worksheet. Do your work. And give the world the best gift you can possibly give. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.